If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Last week we took a break from the series I've been going through in the book of Matthew, a series that I've been calling Fulfilled, how Jesus fulfills the needs and desires of our hearts. And tonight we're going to continue on in that vein in Matthew chapter 13. And I'm calling it Fulfilling Your Story in His Story. Fulfilling Your Story in His Story. And I'm just going to read the first few verses, and there's going to be two passages that suggest fulfillment, that Jesus fulfills a need that we have. And we're going to look at both of those tonight. But just right from the get-go, from Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, and I'll read this first parable that Jesus gives to us, which is going to frame the whole rest of our discussion this evening. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. That day, Jesus went out to the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Parables, stories that Jesus tells, they're like short illustrations. They're things that give a vision for what he's speaking about. They're extended metaphors or similes. They're things that say, as Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this, or life is like this. God is like this. I am like this. You people are like this. They're not necessarily spoken plainly. He doesn't say plainly necessarily what he means. There's something of a riddle to his parables. You have to look at them and you have to think about them. Even in this passage that I've just read, if you didn't know this story, you might not be able to understand the story till you read a few verses down where you find that Jesus explains that this seed is the word, and that the word falls upon the ground and the birds come and take it away so that it doesn't germinate and become a plant. Or some seeds, they fall in rocky soil and they grow up really fast, but they don't have root and they get scorched up. Or the seed that falls into the soil and it has good root and it becomes a fruitful tree. And Jesus is saying that you need to be that good soil to receive the word that I have for you. But his disciples come to him after he's given this cryptic story. And they ask this question in verse 10. It says, And the disciples came and said to him, Why, Jesus, do you speak to them in parables? Why is it that you tell them stories and you don't always tell them the meaning of the stories? Why is it that you waste your time telling stories instead of just telling them to repent and to listen, to hear? Why do you tell them stories? And Jesus gives us some answers. He gives his disciples some answers. This first answer in verse 11 is that it might be granted for all to believe. Verse 11, Jesus answered to them and he says, Because to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. You see, Jesus desires that no one would perish and that all would come to the knowledge of truth, that they would all come to repentance. You see, Jesus, he could have said, like I've said, just repent, receive the word. But he does something else. He goes through the back door, past our minds, into our hearts, and he penetrates deeply with these stories. Stories have the ability to get beyond our intellectual defenses, the defenses that we have in our minds, and they reach into our hearts. They're like a back door to get into our hearts. This past weekend, I had an opportunity that was a blessing and a gift from God, and it was to go to Colorado with my family, to be with my family. That's where I grew up. But the only way I could get there was because my parents were able to help pay for this ticket. So all my brothers and all my family from all over the country gathered together in this place in Colorado. And none of my brothers had received a ticket. So we told my daughter, my 5-year-old daughter who you know, Abigail, we said, you know, it might hurt their feelings if they knew that my parents bought these tickets for us. So don't say anything to them. Don't tell other people about it, but we want to be thankful to God that he's provided this ticket for us. And she didn't quite understand. We went to Colorado and she kept asking, like, why can't we tell? Why don't we say anything? And I was so afraid that she was going to go blurt it out and say, Grandma and Papa, they bought tickets for us, you know? And she just couldn't understand what had happened. But something came to my mind, an illustration, an example that really penetrated into her. While we were in Colorado, the kids went to an arcade and they were able to buy rubber balls. But not all the kids could buy rubber balls. And they were showing them to each other and kind of taunting each other and saying, look at the ball I've got. Look what I've got. And I turned to Abigail. She asked me, how come we don't tell? How come we can't tell about the airline ticket? I said to her, Abigail, it's just like that rubber ball. That rubber ball had value to you. You loved that rubber ball, but it wasn't nice to tell the other kids that you had a rubber ball and they didn't. And her eyes lit up and she said, really? That's exactly what it is? And I said, that's it. That's it. It makes people feel bad. And something clicked in her mind and she understood in a way that she couldn't understand before. This is what Jesus does, is he penetrates beyond our lack of understanding, our lack of ability to see. And these stories show a truth that we miss. But we get another answer for why Jesus tells these parables. And I'm going to skip verse 12 and come back to it. But this answer in verse 13, Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Jesus wants to strip these people who have not received of this pretense of unbelief. He wants to strip them of seeing only on the surface, only superficially. He wants to strip them of this hearing only slightly, not being able to hear it completely. He wants to strip them of understanding it with only their mind and not with their heart. He wants them to get this truth of the gospel that he's bringing. While I was in Colorado, I got to survey the fires that had destroyed parts of the city I grew up in. And I heard a story of a couple who had been told over and over and over again that they needed to evacuate their home. But they didn't listen. They didn't think it was for them. They didn't think the fire was going to come to their house. And for whatever reason, they stayed in their home. And the fire came to their house and burned them, and they died. People who didn't heed the warning. They became an illustration or a story for the rest of the people. When the authorities told the people to evacuate their homes and their neighborhoods, not a person after that said, it's not going to happen to me. They saw what had happened, these 60-mile-per-hour fires coming down the mountain and devouring homes. They saw in this illustration of this people who didn't listen, an example for them that they don't want to be that person. And Jesus is doing this with his parables. They're like arrows into the hearts and minds that are asking you. They're asking me, what part of this story are you? And Jesus has told this story of this seed that falls onto ground. And he's asking, are you the good soil? Are you the one to receive this truth? Or are you one of these who rejects it, who loses it, who grows too fast but doesn't penetrate deeply? But then Jesus gives another answer for why he gives these parables. And we go back to verse 12. And that's to enrich those who believe. To enrich those who believe. In verse 12, it says, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him." We have this idea in our society, don't we, that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and there's some truth to this. But the difference between material wealth and spiritual wealth is one thing. Material wealth you can't achieve on your own many times. Spiritual wealth you can receive by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Heavenly Father is rich in his graces and love. You have the choice to receive and to take and to be rich with spiritual blessings. And Jesus tells these parables to enrich, to solidify, to help to grow those who believe. And those who believe come to Jesus, and these disciples, they come to Jesus and they say, "This doesn't quite make sense, Jesus. Can you show it to me? Can you show me what's going on?" And there's a desire and there's a hunger to be enriched for those who believe. There's another question that runs through the book of Matthew that comes up in this text. And it's, Jesus, if you're this promised Messiah, if you're this great Messiah, this Messiah King, how come this truth isn't received? How come not everybody receives this truth? There must be something wrong with your truth, your gospel. And then Jesus, he points to this natural world. He says, look at the seeds. And this happens in nature all the time, doesn't it? The seeds, they, even if they're good seeds, they grow up and some of them fail to take root. But that doesn't say anything about the seed. And Jesus is saying, this doesn't say anything about the truth of my gospel. This gospel is true, but it has to penetrate into our hearts. So he uses the natural world to point to the fact that his gospel is true. But then he also points to the prophets in the Old Testament, and this brings us to verse 14. Jesus says, "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and they would return, and I would heal them.'" See, Jesus is saying that the prophet Isaiah, 600 years before Jesus had come, the prophet Isaiah had seen the Lord, beheld him in the temple, and God said to him, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" And Isaiah said, "I'll go. Send me." And then the Lord said to Isaiah, "You go for me, but these people will not hear you. They will not receive this truth." Isaiah is a story, an illustration of the fact that a true prophet of God is not always received. Jesus, the true and only God, had the truth and was not received. And it's a parable that goes on and on to this very day, that the truth of the gospel can be laid out upon our ears, upon our hearts, but it can often be rejected. This is re-fulfilled throughout our lives. But the question goes on for us, what do we miss if we don't believe? Verse 15 answers, it says, otherwise, they would return and I would heal them. We miss when we fail to believe, returning to the arms of our loving Savior. We miss the healing that this Savior brings. We miss the healing from the anxieties, the fears, the toil, the weariness, the separation, the sin. We miss the healing of our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. We miss that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that comes with a relationship with our God. We miss all those things. Jesus wants us to fulfill this story. He wants us to fulfill our story in His story. Jesus wants us to be that part, that soil that receives the truth of the gospel. And then let's move forward into verse 34 and 35, which shows some of Jesus' heart for preaching these gospels, for teaching these gospels. In verse 34, it says, all these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. This is a fulfillment of a prophecy given in the Psalm 78. And I just want to read some of the context to give you what's going on here. Hear Jesus speaking these words from Psalm 78. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. And hear this, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, and not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments. See, Jesus' heart here is for these parables to teach us to follow him, to not be hardened by our sin, but to follow after him. It actually says that these parables and these truths, they gush forth from him like a bubbling spring. He's fulfilling his desire that all of us will enter into his story of redemption. And these parables, they flow out of him. As you read this whole chapter, he gives not only this parable of a sower, but he gives a parable of a man who plants a field of wheat. And an enemy comes in and he puts seeds of weeds inside the field. And his servants come and say, should we pluck out the weeds? And the man says, no, leave them there, because if you take them out, you're going to hurt the wheat. Jesus is saying that he doesn't want to hurt you and me. by plucking out evil? Which of us would stand if our Lord came and judged us right now? Jesus gives another parable. He says that the kingdom of God is like this tiny itty-bitty mustard seed that once it's planted in the ground grows up into a great tree that provides shade for birds. He says the kingdom of God is like yeast that's put in great bins of dough. And as that little bit of yeast spreads, it takes over and grows and grows. See, the kingdom of heaven is powerful in its smallness and grows and infiltrates the community. And these things continue to gush forth from the mouth of Jesus, these parables, these teachings. But today, some people say, why is God silent? Why is God not speaking today? But he's not silent. He's not silent. Just like in the days of Isaiah and in the days of Jesus, our eyes are dim. Our ears don't hear. Our hearts do not comprehend. We look to the heavens, which declare the glory of God. And what do we see but nothingness and chaos? And that this world was created by a big bang instead of the God, the creator of the universe. We look to biology and we see self-created order instead of a creative God who has ordered all things together. Doctors see healings every day and they point to nature and to the biological health of our ecosystem. They don't point to the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see men and women every day freed from bondage, and we point to techniques, to psychology, not to the God who breaks bondages every day. We see men and women freed from sin and point to the power of guilt rather than the power of the freedom giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus today is still gushing forth the story of his kingdom and the story of redemption everywhere we look if we would just ponder and receive. But even these parables and this truth of the story continuing on in our lives is only received by his followers, by his disciples. His disciples look at the story and say, Jesus, I think you're getting to something, but I can't quite figure it out. Do you look at the other brothers around here and hear their stories, and do you think, God, I think you're trying to tell me something about you. Tell me what it is. Or do you say, that's just another brother? See, Jesus is like a bubbling stream who shows what the kingdom of God is like in the very stories of our lives. This is why testimony is so important and powerful. This is why the graduation ceremonies that you have, that I hear about, the testimonies are so powerful and transformative. This is because this is the light lips of Jesus opening to gush forth his story of redemption, of how the seed he cast out on the ground looked as if it might be taken away by the enemy, or choked out by the weeds, or burned up in the rocks, how it landed in the fertile soil of a man or woman's heart and became fruitful. These testimonies are the stories of how it looked like the good crop would be choked out by the weeds planted by the enemy, but how they endured the difficulties and trials and overcame because of the tender care and wisdom of a God who would not pluck out the weeds from his people, lest they land themselves into the lake of fire. These are the stories of the tiny seeds of faith which germinate into a tree of shelter and strength. These are the stories of the tiny bit of yeast that miraculously spreads to the entire lump of dough, raising it to become life-giving bread in this hungry world. These stories, your stories, are the stories of Jesus, springing from his lips that those who would see dimly would see fully. That those who hear faintly will hear loudly. That those who understand scantily will understand fully and will return and be healed. Two hymns I want to share with you. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that the story of redemption that you give, that we would be on the side that receives and that hungers and seeks after you. Be with us tonight as we go, that we might see and understand, even if I'm not clear, Lord, that your word would be clear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.